Praise Jesus Christ of Nazareth, brothers and sisters. The Power of Christ Daily, the 30th of January 2016. Conviction of Sins and Confession. Conviction of Sins and Confession. Brothers and sisters, many times a reminder, today started last night, before going to bed. In your bed, we meditate and think about the things, anything we have wrong. In fact, if you are listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, whenever you do wrong, immediately there will be a conviction coming in. You have done wrong and you feel guilty, you feel all this, and you have to go and settle this with Christ. Now, and you offended people, you could ask for forgiveness. But better yet, if all that you doesn't feel also, at least examine yourself against the Word of God. Examine against the Word of God, not just simply what I said. It must be against the Word of God. I am explaining things this way, that they, what people have experienced, what the testimony is, and what I have seen over 20 years, and how. But the most important, the Scripture, the Word of God. The Word of God is, the written Word of God is Jesus Christ. But then it becomes Rhema. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and His name is Emmanuel, the Bible says. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ becomes Rhema in the Spirit. The Word of written Word becomes in the Spirit. Both of you become real for you. It has to come there. Now, at the same time, the question here is conviction of sins and confession. If you have not been convicted of sin in the Spirit, you are not born of the Spirit. Or you have been diluting the whatever God is telling you through the Spirit of God, you have been putting aside, you put it aside. That is, you have been, God is saying you have seared your conscience. As seared means S-E-A-R-E-D. S-E-A-S-E-A-R-E-D. Seared your conscience means like taking a hot, red, hot iron rod and putting on the skin of an animal to brand the animal. The brand then is stick there. But that skin around that shows the sign of that brand is dead. The cells are dead there, and therefore you have got a branding the animal. It's seared. So God's word says, you have seared your conscience. I mean, you don't have basic conscience, you keep on killing it, you burnt it. Let's not be there. Go to Jesus Christ and tell Him, clear this, Lord. I want a sensitive heart. I want a heart of flesh that feels offended, that feels when I've offended people, offended God, that feels, not just nothing, you know, you're offending. And that is why the Bible says, the last days, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. Has anyone's love grown cold? I mean, you don't feel love. And I've talked about emotional index. You don't feel emotional when somebody is suffering or whatever. You don't feel compassion. That means something has happened, that your conscience has been seared. Your feelings have been seared. You don't feel empathy towards people who are suffering. You don't feel empathy, and you don't feel guilt, and that your sin, conviction of sin doesn't come, because you've been either killing it, or you've been living among community, among friends, bad company. Finally, this happens. Get to Jesus Christ. Get back to be a human being. Now, it had become like that for me earlier. Earlier, before I came to Christ, my conscience was seared. I don't care about sin. So that actually, finally, that's also a tactic of Satan, to sear our conscience, make you do things, make you be tempted here, tempted there, and then you sear your conscience. Finally, you do more and more. Evil only increase and kill us. And why is he doing that? To destroy me. And I was following my heart. And my heart, God already said, is treacherously wicked. Of course, I didn't know at the time. But sadly, many Christians, or people claiming to be following Christ, also do not know, and some do not even agree, that their hearts are treacherously wicked. Because they have been falsely taught that as soon as you came to the Lord, and your spirit has been given life, you are born again in the Spirit, immediately your heart and mind all changed, already said. Because they used the word, all things have been made new, all things are passed away. He is talking about your spirit being. Your spirit man was dead in sin before you went to Jesus. My spirit man was dead in sin before I went to Jesus. And now when we turned to Jesus, the veil over our eyes dropped, and we could see Jesus in our heart. We wanted Jesus, we are turning to Jesus, and He removes the veil from our eyes, or the scales of our eyes fall off, and we begin to, and we got a fleshly heart and begin to be sensitive to a sin. That doesn't mean the heart is not treacherously wicked still. Many areas of our lives would still be doing what they want to do. But what has happened? The spirit man has been changed. You have given a spirit man which is spirit controlled by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Holy Spirit, the spirit man. Now, but the spirit man is like a baby. He's been to be fed the Word of God. The Word of God is food for the spirit man. That's why Jesus said, you know, when he ministered to the woman at the well, and then the disciples came back, he said, "We have food that I do not know of, doing the will of Father God." For us, the food for the soul, food for the spirit, is actually the Word of God. So when we begin to use the Word of God again and again, meditating, thinking about it, our spirit man will begin to grow, and our spirit man then takes control of our, renewing the spirit of our mind. Now, if there's no need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind by looking at the Word of God, means that means the mind is completely changed into completely holy, completely following Christ, completely born again. No, the born again is the spirit. It's the spirit man that's born again. Sisters, I keep telling you, you have Father God's spirit, so it's a spirit man. Your body is a woman body. That's a casing. Each of us got a casing, but the casing will change. We have spirit man because Father God's spirit has come in. Jesus, through Jesus Christ, suffering on the cross and redemption and rising again. Now the spirit man must be grown to strong to take control of our heart and mind, and our heart will be in area by area. Wherever we know is wrong, we are meditating, we are examining ourselves, we want to change. Why? Therefore, to understand the conviction of sin and confession, we have to look at the whole precept of Christ, the whole Word, the whole counsel of God. He wants us holy. He wants us changed from glory to glory, because He is coming for a blameless, spotless, blameless bride, and we are part of that bride. And of course, He washes us with His sin, but now He wants us to rise up and fight. He said, "Your enemy, the devil," so we have to fight this enemy, the devil, not human beings. Now we have taken the weapons of warfare, we start casting out evil spirit, casting out the spirit of anger, casting out the spirit of sexual immorality, casting out of lack of what you call unbelief, casting out unbelief, because we don't believe, we believe the world. Our heart believes the world. Our spirit man believes Jesus Christ, because spirit man is from God. But our heart will believe the world. What the doctor said, what the lawyer said, what the engineer said, what the banker said, what the businessman said, what the boss said. But you believe Christ. So you cast out spirit of unbelief, and you begin to command the name, in the name of Jesus Christ, the heart to believe Christ. Now, so when the conviction of sin comes, so we believe finally when the conviction of sin comes, because once you want to follow Jesus Christ, a conviction of sin comes. Then, of course, we have confessed. Yesterday we didn't confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The question is, when to confess? How to confess? To whom to confess? That is why we look at the whole counsel of God. Now, for instance, there are two business fellows in parable in the Bible who are going to go to another town. They're talking to each other, "We'll go there, we'll make great profit. And then we will build a big business and great profit, and we don't have to work for the rest of our lives." Then the parable says, God says, "You fools, your life is being called tonight. Your life is being called tonight." Now can you imagine? First, conviction of sin. Our fleshly heart must be sensitive to the sin. That comes from examining what God tells us to examine. So you want to immediately clear the thing. While God says to confess, immediately you want to clear the thing. Clean the sin. And he said, don't be a slave to sin. Slave to sin means born of the devil. Keep on sinning means born of the devil. So you don't want any sin. He said, "Your enemy, the adversary, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may swallow or devour." That means we know the devil is coming around to tempt us and tempt our hearts. And then the familiar spirit knows all about what we have done. The familiar spirit tempt our hearts, and then we fall into sin. God said, "Do not sin." He's coming back for a bride that's blameless and spotless. Now all that put together as the whole counsel of God, you know the confession has been done first of all to God, Jesus Christ, immediately. Immediately. Because sometimes people say, "I'll go to confession, you know, go to the confessionary once a month, once a year or something." Well, the counsel of God is clear. You have to confess to Jesus Christ immediately in the spirit. Now, after having done that, So what is the scripture? After having done that, you say, sorry, Lord. And then there's an issue of restitution. You have to do things to settle. Suppose you lied to somebody. You've got to call the person. And then supposing you have offended somebody, you've got to call and ask for forgiveness from that person. And then if supposing you are offended, somebody did something, you cry out to Christ and you say, I want to forgive. You want to forgive this person. Now don't call a person and say, I forgive you. That is actually pride. I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. I forgive you, my neighbor. I forgive you, my work colleague. That's pride. You forgive me, you keep quiet. When you want to ask for forgiveness, you call and ask. Because Jesus wants us to be salt and light, a shiny light in this dark world. A dark world, a beacon of hope. Now when we go and ask for forgiveness, that act becomes a beacon of hope for the others to say, hey, look at this person. He comes and asks for forgiveness when he's wrong. And sometimes when you go and ask for forgiveness, they don't even know that you have done something. And when you go and ask for forgiveness for that, it becomes a beacon of hope in the heart, and Jesus, the Spirit of God, will begin to bring the memory. See, how can they do it? They are Christians. And then you talk about casting out evil spirit, casting out the spirit of lies. All that, so many things. There are, you know, so many segments spoken about. I think 230, I don't know. So many, go to thegraceoflife.com and begin to hear the old ones, because it show you this way to Jesus. To Jesus. Always the message here is for you to use the power of Christ and get to Jesus by getting to Jesus. Now, what the Bible says now? James 5:16. One of the things they say, I have to confess to a pastor, I have to confess to a priest, I have to confess. All that, we have to now check the scriptures what it says. It doesn't matter what people write and tell you and this and that. Get to the written scriptures. I'm reading from James 5:16. The Catholic edition. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Therefore, confess, James 5:16, Catholic edition. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Now, brothers, this is a second. The whole counsel of God. Jesus is coming back as a thief in the night. Suddenly he'll come back. Even if he comes back later, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years from now, instead of arguing and discussing that, we look, keep ourselves vigilant, holy, by wanting to obey him, by using his blood to clean ourselves, to wash away our sins, being a blood to have power, casting out in the name of Jesus Christ, fear and confusion, all that goes, because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Now the concept, the precept, the whole counsel of God is be holy all the time. So we cannot be holy all the time because we will do sin. We not be practicing, no practicing sin. Keep on sinning. All eyes burn on the lake of fire, it says. No such thing. Let's say you fell into sin. That's what he's talking about. If you suddenly fall into sin, you cannot be waiting. You cannot be waiting that 1 year I go for confession, 1 month later I go, end of Sunday I go. No, you cannot be waiting. You have to deal with it. Because if Jesus turns up that night, or he told the other two fellows, hey, your life is called tonight. What happens? Especially when they're older, people get older, will begin to think more of this, going home, going, where do we go after this? Those who don't have Christ will think of going somewhere. Don't know what to do. But those who have Christ, some of them do not know the word of God. They also don't know where they're going. That means they're really not born of the Spirit in the Spirit. Born of God in the Spirit. But Jesus coming back for you means coming for you to be holy. If he comes tonight, are you holy, keeping all the sins? Oh, I'll go confess on Sunday. I'll confess on once a month. I'll confess on once a year. No, the thing. Praise Jesus Christ, you'll be holy now. First, you settle it with Christ. Immediately confess to Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, I've sinned like this. I need you, my Father. God, Jesus Christ, I need you. Because a conviction of sin coming. You begin to pray, you begin to worship until the thing leaves. Until the feeling of conviction of sin leaves. Until the guilt. We talk about guilt, huh? Condemnation all leaves because God has forgiven you. If you need to forgive, you forgive. You examine yourself and all that. Then after that, Now what the scripture says, confess your sins to one another. Go and get hold of a brother or sister in Christ. Somebody you trust. Because people dare not confess to one another. Why? They are afraid somebody is going to blab their mouth all over the place and gossip about them and all. Now you see, if you are supposed to be a pastor whom you trust, go to the pastor and talk. And say, I've sinned like this. But if you happen to, need not be pastors. Need not be elders. You can be disciples. You are all fellowshipping together, praying together, worshiping together, congregation together. You will have a group that you have to come. And if the sin is so big, they will bring up the pastor who is a, if he is a trusted servant of God, he will keep his confidence. There are so many people, 20 years, come and tell me their sins are. I don't go around blabbing my mouth. Why? I fear God. But when they need to be corrected, they need to be corrected. Because when they understand their sin, doesn't mean they know, they just confess it was over. There are other things you have to do. How to not to get into the trap of sin again. Therefore the Bible says confess your sins to one another. It doesn't say confess your sins to a pastor, a priest or this and that. To confess your sins to one another. There's no scripture in the New Testament I checked, confess your sins to pastors and priests and this and that, some elders. It's actually confess to one another. If it happens to be a pastor, thank Jesus Christ. Happens to be, and some more, straight away, and pray for one another. Then what we do? Pray for one another that you may be healed. Therefore, they say 80% of the diseases that we suffer are due to spiritual roots. Bitterness, unforgiveness, no self-worth, things like that, you know. Like I'm hopeless, I'm worthless. So all these conditions we have dealt with in the past segments, please go and get it. So the answer is this. When you are convicted of sin, when you feel you have sinned, you please confess to Jesus Christ, worship, ask for mercy until you leave, and immediately at the same time, if you can get immediately as soon as possible, ASAP, because Jesus may come back any time. You are supposed to be holy, part of the holy bride. Confess your sin to one another and pray with one another and you are healed in Jesus Christ's name. The prayer of the righteous is powerful. Righteous is how? The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.